نحمد ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، continuing with the next couplets from the مراقبة موت of خواجة عزيز الحسن مجوب رحمة الله عليه، in which he mentions دفعة سرپر جو آ پہنچے اجل پھر کہا تو اور کہا دار العمل. Hazrat is saying that daf'atan. Daf'atan means suddenly. Sir par jo aa pahunche ajal. That suddenly when this death comes upon one, and of course, as far as this death goes, then no one knows when he is going to leave this world. That's why Hazrat Shah Aqeem Akhtar Sahib used to say that zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa. That strange is the visa of life. We do not know when the visa of life is going to expire. One cannot extend the visa of life, and the duration of the validity of that visa is unknown. So each person that comes into this world has got an expiry date attached to his name. And when we're going to leave this world, we just don't know. So daf'atan sir par jo aa pahunche ajal. Now when this angel of death strikes, when the time has come, pir kaha tu aur kaha darul amal. Now the person has left this world. This world is Darul Amal, the place of doing amal, of doing good deeds. He had the opportunity to do good deeds in this world. But now once he is taken out of this world, now the opportunity to do good deeds is completely gone. He cannot. There is an incident of a buzruk, a certain wali of Allah, as somebody was passing by, they heard some tilawat of the Quran Sharif coming from a grave. And Allah made it such that sometimes these things happen. Many, many years ago, I remember when we were still young, there was a very senior mufti whose mother had passed away. This was in the Johannesburg area. So his mother had passed away, then he made it his habit that every single day for 40 days he decided he would go to her grave and make some tilawat of the Quran Sharif, some dua. And he mentioned to us that one particular day his son was behind, he had his nephew on the passenger side. And as they were entering the Qabristan, driving through, they noticed some flames coming out of one of the graves. And he said the ajeeb thing is that the flame was not, it was not burning on top of the grave, it was as if it was coming from within. And he said that his son from behind called out, "Fire, fire, fire." So immediately he stopped the vehicle, they looked, and they saw this, and it was something that mesmerized them. He said he got out of the car, he looked at this and he started reading. His nephew started reading, and as they started reading, the flame started to subside. Eventually, he went to that grave, he looked at the details of that grave, and he started doing an investigation. First, he gave a few bayans, I remember in our area, speaking about what are the possibilities that could cause adab of the qabr. The one is Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that the person who is not cautious with regards to urine droplets, when a person relieves oneself, then we know that we should be sitting and relieving ourselves. Sometimes the person stands and urinates. Now when you stand and urinate, it's practically impossible to prevent the splashback. So those splashes that comes on one's clothing, because of that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said many people are punished in the grave because of the urine droplets. So we should be extremely cautious when we are relieving ourselves and make sure that we are cleanse ourselves thereafter and don't allow any of that impurity to come on the body. So he spoke in those lines. But eventually he somehow or the other managed to get in touch with the wife of this person who had passed away. She was an elderly woman. And then he arranged with his family and an interview, and eventually the wife admitted, she said that, you know, he was a person who read his namaz. He was deendar. He would go to the masjid. But I have to admit, he was extremely abusive to me. He was extremely abusive to me. So then, mashallah, that Maulana started giving a whole series of bayans about being kind to the wife and being kind to the subordinates. That this is, he felt that this was the reason that this person was being punished, that he was abusive to the wife. And that's why it is important that we together with, you know, mashallah, developing the quality of taqwa, is that improving our relationships with our, especially our women folk, our wives. Ask yourself the question that if you had to give your daughter to someone, how would you like that person to treat your daughter? Honestly speaking. And we know the men generally, we attach to our daughters, you know. Person says he got a soft spot for his daughter. So tell yourself that this woman who's in my care, she's the daughter of someone else. And it happens very often, respected elders and brothers, it happens. Ask the senior ulama, and we too have seen it. That the person who abuses his wife, Allah makes it such that one of his daughters goes through an abusive relationship. It comes back to him. And then the person is scratching his head, he doesn't know what to do. Marana, I don't know what to do, my daughter is being abused, this man is not treating my daughter. But he forgets what he did to his wife. So that's why Allah has interceded on behalf of our women folk. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Allah is interceding on their behalf. They treat them with kindness. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also interceded. He gave an excuse for them. He said that the woman has been made from a crooked rib. This doesn't mean that some men folk use it. You say you're crooked. You're all the same. Some men use it incorrectly. This is actually a intercession on their behalf. That understand that just as you got weaknesses, they also got weaknesses. Doesn't mean you don't have weaknesses, but they've also got weaknesses. And since if you accept that they got weaknesses, then you won't get so upset when they make a mistake. You will overlook it. There's an incident of a person who, he passed away, and one of his friends saw him in a dream. And I asked him, how did Allah Ta'ala treat you? So he said that on one occasion, my wife had prepared some food. And she presented the food to me. I had a heavy day at work, came home tired, hungry. The food was presented on the table. But it was extremely salty. He said that I ate the food and I didn't say one word. In fact, I thanked her for the food. So when I went before Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala said that my servant had made a mistake and the food was salty. You overlooked the weaknesses of the food and you said nothing to her and you forgave her. I'm overlooking all your weaknesses and I'm entering into Jannah. Just as you overlooked her weakness and you let it go, I am letting all your weaknesses go and I'm entering into paradise. So therefore, our treatment of our women folk is extremely essential. So he saw this fire coming out of the grave, he literally saw it. And there are many incidents of this nature where people have seen certain things. Our late Ustad, Hazrat Qari Ismail Ishaq Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala give us a very close relationship to him. In fact, I was studying in our schooling, and I used to take part in the Qiraat competitions that the Muslim schools would organize. So Hazrat Qari Sahib used to come for those programs, and he used to be one of the judges. And at every program, he would say, when you come into the madrasa. So when I finished my matric, father asked me, where you want to go? I said, we'll go to the Qari Sahib's madrasa. He's calling us, we'll go there. So mashallah, when he passed away, it is said that the guard heard tilawat of the Quran Sharif coming out from his grave. Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, that his whole life was in Quran. Allah made it such that from his grave, tilawat of the Quran Sharif was heard. And then there are incidents of many, many individuals. One of them is the name, one great buzruk of the time, the name slips my mind. In India, very pious person. He lived directly opposite one of the universities. And he used to tell the university students that you come here and spend some time with me. And I will show you and you will see certain things that you would never have seen before. You will experience certain things that you would never have experienced before. I will make you experience some secret things. So they would mock him always. They would always mock him. So Allah made it such when he passed away. When he passed away, it is said that the soil from his grave, a fragrance was emanating. One of the persons there came and told Mawla Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali that I was one of the people who actually took some sand in my handkerchief and I tied it up. And he said I took that sand home and that fragrance was unbelievable. He said, then I thought to myself, it's not right to, you know, take sand from the grave and all of that. So I decided, I went quietly back and I poured the sand back. But he said, Maulana, you will not believe it. I have washed that handkerchief over and over and over again, but that fragrance is still there. That fragrance is still there. It is said about Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, when he passed away, the same thing happened, that there was a beautiful fragrance that was being exuded from his grave, from his qabr. So Allah Ta'ala shows that this is a reality. The grave, Nabi Kareem Sa'asim said, Al-Qabru rawdatum min riyadil jannah, aw hufratum min hufarin nar. That the grave is a garden from the gardens of paradise, but it can also be a pit from the pits of the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. So anyway, this person, he saw this buzruk. Allah made it such as he's walking, the sand fell, and he saw a buzruk inside the grave making tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So he was amazed. So he said, Subhanallah. So this buzruk said that I am willing to exchange all the tilawat of the Quran Sharif that I am now engaged in this grave for that one Subhanallah that you've recited. The difference is, the Subhanallah that you've recited is in Darul Amal, and the tilawat of Quran Sharif that I am reading is no longer in Darul Amal. There is no reward being. I'm enjoying the tilawat, but I'm not receiving any rewards any longer. The place of reward is in this world. So he says, Daf'atan sar par jo aap paunche ajal, pir kaha tu aur kaha Darul Amal. When death comes, now you will be taken out of Darul Amal. Now you have no longer any opportunity to do any good deed, not even recite Subhanallah once. That is why every opportunity that you have to do some good deed or the other, take advantage of that opportunity. Then he says, Jayega ye bebaha moka nikal, pir nahat aayegi umre bebadal. He said that this opportunity that Allah has given you, it will come out from your hands. You will lose it. It is gone. This opportunity that you have, it is gone. And now, phir nahat aayegi umr bebadal. This life which Allah has given you, it is priceless. I had intended to discuss Suratul Asr in the tafsir, but one of the points in that Suratul Asr, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi mentions that if only Suratul Asr was revealed and no other verses of the Quran Sharif, that would have been sufficient for the people of intelligence as a form of guidance. You look at Suratul Asr, Allah is taking a qasam on time, that this time is such a valuable asset. People say time is money. They are actually undervaluing time. Time is not money, because then it means that you are equating time to just basically money. Time is far more valuable than money. Time is life. Once time goes, it never comes back again. That's why Khaja Sahib in another couplet, he says, Umr ho rahi hai mithl barf kam. Umr ho rahi hai mithl barf kam. Chupke chupke rafta rafta dam badam. He gives the example that life is like a block of ice. In those days, now mashallah we have fridges, we have freezers, we have all different forms of, you know, cooler bags. And in those days they didn't have that. So they used to, what used to happen, especially in India, people used to sell ice on the streets. The people who were in the 50s and 60s will bear testimony to this. That when you went in India, that on the street corners they would sell this ice. And they would try and sell the ice very quickly, as fast as possible. Some of them would cover it so that, you know, the rays of the sun don't hit it directly, some or the other. But they know the longer they take to sell it, the less they're going to get, because as the seconds pass by, as the minutes pass by, that ice, the size is being reduced, it is being reduced, it is being reduced, it is being reduced, it is going down the drains of the streets. You can't now collect that water, now it's finished, it's gone. And if they just allowed it to melt away, they got nothing. They lost out. Khaja Sahib gives the example that your life is like that block of ice. Allah Ta'ala sent us into this world, and that is our stipulated time. Not 1 second more, not 1 second less. Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah on one occasion said, one buzruk, one wali of Allah, he had all his murids that were with him, people. So after the Isha Salah, he had a small program. After the program finished, the people got up and they went. So the few people who were very close, they remained seated. So that Buzurug, that Wali of Allah, took out his watch and he started looking at his watch. And he carried on looking at his watch right till the Fajr Azan was called. So afterwards the people said, what happened to Hazrat? Hazrat went into a different world. And then he mentioned, he said, I was looking at the watch and I was looking at every second that was melting away of my life. One more second gone from my life. One more second gone from my life. How my life is melting away. That is why Khaja Azizul Hasan Mazur Rahmatullahi, another couplet of his, he says that Qadam Su'e Marqad, Qadam Su'e Marqad, Nazar Su'e Dunya, Qadam Su'e Marqad, Nazar Su'e Dunya, Kaha Ja Rahe Ho Kidhar Dekhta Ho. That your steps are towards your grave. As every day passes by, it's one day closer to our graves. People celebrate their birthday. They celebrate the birthday. The reality is, it's not a moment of celebration. We have to tell ourselves, I'm 1 year closer to my grave. I'm 1 year closer to meeting my Allah. There's 1 year that has melted away from my life, never to return ever again. The 27th night of Ramadan of 2022 is gone. It's never going to come back ever again. Perhaps Allah may give you the next Ramadan. Perhaps this is the last Ramadan of your life. How many people they were? Allahu Akbar. Hasn't this COVID made us realize? We were speaking to a person, and next thing, my cousin Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahab, I was speaking to him on WhatsApp, talking to him, and then next thing he sent a message, make dua, feeling weak. And then next thing, hospital, make dua, few messages in hospital. Next thing, make dua, very, very weak. Next thing, news gone, passed away. How, just like this, suddenly, Maulana Hashim Sahab, look at that. So, how many people they were, suddenly, life is gone. Dafatan sar par jo aa paunche. So, our lives are melting away. He says, Umr ho rahi, mithl barf kam, chupke chupke, rafta rafta, dam badam, silently, without us even realizing, our lives are melting away. There's one more second gone, one day gone from our life, one week gone from our life, 1 year gone. And we carrying on. So he says, Qadam Su'e Marqad, you are walking towards your grave, Nazar Su'e Dunya, but your nazar is at Dunya. Kaha Ja Rahe Ho, Kidhar Dekhta Ho, which direction you going, and where are you looking? If somebody is walking straight, in forward, and he's looking behind, we say, Bhai, you will knock into the pole. Look in front of you. Look in front of you. So we are walking towards our graves, but we are looking at Dunya. I need to get that car. And now we bought that car, but you saw that one got a, you know, better spec. Let's try and upgrade. I got one property, need to get two properties. You saw he managed to get three properties. Let's try and get four. And he just goes on and on. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if Ibn Adam had one valley of gold, he will desire two. وَلَيَّمْلَ أَفَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. Only the soil of the grave will satisfy him. Nothing else. It just go on and on and on. So we're not saying that a person, again, let's balance it out. We are not saying that we are not allowed to get properties, we are not allowed to get, but let your gaze always be focused on akhirat. Like Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, like Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Allah gave them wealth, but their heart was never attached to that wealth. Their heart was focused, they were focused towards their grave. Allah Ta'ala gave them and dunya fell at their feet. But the nazar was always, where am I going? Am I ready for my death? Have I invested in my akhirah? And then a person won't do certain things that are inappropriate. They say, why must I spoil my akhirah for this? Why must I spoil my akhirah for this? Never mind, let it go. Let it go. Even though apparently it seems like the person is taking more. But I'm not prepared to destroy my akhirah because I am heading for my grave. How will I speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah yadhunnu ulaika annahum mab'uthun. We have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said that this opportunity that Allah has given you is going to go. Phir nahat aayegi be umre be badal. Then you're never going to get this life again. You have got only once. You know, they also say, the youngsters say YOLO. You only live once. Now what they mean is that, you know, try and go to as many cinemas, discos, theaters, gambling dens. Try and have as much fun as you can because you only live once. We also say the same thing. Our Akabirin also teach us the same thing, that you only have one opportunity to make your akhirah. You only have one opportunity to gain the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. You only have one opportunity to develop the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't destroy it, because the opportunity will never come again. Wal asri, Allah says, by the token of time, by the qasam of time, with regards to time, innal insana lafi khusr, man is at a loss, because once time is gone, it never comes back again. Once that opportunity comes, you missed it, it never comes back again. Take advantage of the opportunities. I had mentioned, I think it was in one of the programs, where Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, who is known as Shaykhul Islam, Damat Barakatuhum, he mentions that sometimes certain thoughts come into your mind, good thoughts, certain good ideas come into your heart, that you know this certain nephew of mine's, he wants to become an alim. Let me buy his kitabs for his first year alim course. I'll give you an example. That thought just crossed your mind. Had you taken advantage of that opportunity, and later on he becomes an alim, and he opens up a Darul Uloom, you left this world. But you are enjoying the fruits of that foundation that you laid, that you became a means of this youngster becoming an alim of deen. And now how many thousands of people benefited? That thought that came into your mind was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a mehman that came into your heart. If you host the guest, then Allah gives more opportunities. And such a great opportunity comes. Hence he says that whenever these good thoughts come into the mind, grab it. Because what happens is, you'll find that thought never comes again. That idea never ever comes again. Or that opportunity never comes again. Or somebody else takes the opportunity. Somebody else grabs it. Somebody else takes advantage. Something comes to mind, a light-hearted incident. That Behlul, I mentioned Behlul was a very humorous person in the company of Harun Rashid. We used to keep him there. He was a very great wali of Allah, but he used to hide his wilayat in his simplicity. So one occasion, Harun Rashid was walking, and in his palace, he had a little stream that was on the side. Behlul was sitting in the bank of that stream, and he was building mud houses, small miniature mud houses. Now obviously, seeing a big person building mud houses, it's already humorous. So Harun Rashid, walking with all his attendants, discussing some important matters. So he stopped there. Behlul, what you busy doing now? So he said, I'm building houses. He said, for what? He said, I'm going to sell it. He said, for what? For how much? He said, for one dirham, one silver coin or whatever it was. He said, so what are they going to get? He said, they will get a palace in Jannah. They will get a palace in Jannah. So Harun Rashid laughed, all of them laughed, and they carried on. Shortly thereafter, the wife of Harun Rashid, her name was Zubaydah, so she was walking with her attendants, and she saw Behlul there. She asked the same question, what are you doing, Behlul? He said, I'm building a house, I will sell it for one dirham in lieu of a palace in Jannah. So she immediately took out one dirham and she gave it to him. She says, right, I'm purchasing a palace in Jannah. That night Harun Rashid goes to sleep. He sees in a dream, he's walking in a beautiful garden, the like of which he's never seen in his life. And then he comes to a huge palace, the like of which he's never seen in his life. In his mind he's thinking, this must be for me, for all the efforts I've made in running the Ummah and running the Islamic government. And he is excited, he wants to enter the palace. And as he comes to the door of the palace, the guard that is there, he immediately stops him. He says, you are not allowed to enter. He says, why not? He said, the palace doesn't belong to you. He said, who does the palace belong to? He said, the owner of the palace, the name is engraved. It's calligraphy on the top. And as he looks up, he sees the name of his wife. Immediately he realizes what has happened. He wakes up, gets up, he hurries to Behlul. He finds Behlul sitting on the banks of the river again. He's not doing anything. He says, Behlul, you got any stocks left? Any stocks left? He said, what are you talking about? He said, no, that houses you were selling, you got anything? I want to buy one. I'll buy a few one time. The Behlul says, yes, no problem. But the price has changed. He said, why? How much is it? He said, now the price of that house is the whole world and what it contains. So he said, why? He said, oh, Harun Rashid, yesterday had you purchased it, you would have purchased it without seeing the reward. Today when you're purchasing, you saw the reward. Now you want to purchase it. The lesson we learn from this is that Allah will reward us because we are doing things without seeing Jannat, without seeing Jahannam. We haven't seen Jannat, we haven't seen Jahannam. And then the person does a good deed based on that. That, Ya Allah, I am helping this person for your pleasure. I am putting happiness into the heart of this person for your pleasure. I want your reward. Yet he has never seen the rewards of Allah Ta'ala. That is when Allah Ta'ala gives the reward. Now when the person goes, then it is too late. Inna Allah Ta'ala yaqbalu tawbat al-abd ma lam yugharghi. Allah will continuously accept the tawbah of his banda. But once the banda sees the angels coming now to take out the soul, now when he's at the throes of death and now he sees the angels, that, oh, this is a reality. Now I can see the angels. Now that time he will make tawbah upon tawbah, like how Fir'aun, he said, amanat bihi, aman. How many times he brought iman? Wa ana minal muslimin, wa ana minal mu'minin. Now when the waves were coming upon him and he saw the adab of Allah Ta'ala, he said, I bring iman on the Rabb of Musa and I'm from the mu'mineen. But then it was too late. Because now he's seeing the adab of Allah Ta'ala. He's seeing the angels coming, the angels of punishment. It is too late. So when the person sees the angels and is at the time in the throes of death, now it is too late. So therefore, the opportunity, we say you only live once, take advantage of every opportunity that you have. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in one hadith, La tahqiranna min al ma'rufi shay'a. Don't regard any good deed as insignificant. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala accept all the programs that took place here. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of benefit for all of us. And Allah Ta'ala reward all the brothers for lending us an ear. If the brothers didn't sit, how would we have been able to ever even have a program? So therefore, it is really the sacrifices of the brothers that they've sat here and they've applied themselves and the tawajjuhat that Allah Ta'ala has granted us the tawfiq to say whatever we've said. And who knows, we may have a program tomorrow, but if not, then we'd also like to extend our apologies that sometimes in the course of the discussion some things may be said which someone may have found offensive, or it may have hurt someone in any way. We sincerely ask for forgiveness. The intention was never to hurt anyone. The intention was sometimes the islah of our own selves. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, forgive all of us, and may Allah ta'ala make us His. Allah ta'ala bless us with His muhabbat and ma'rifat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thanaan alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. O Kareem, Rahim, most forgiving, loving and caring Allah. Ya Allah, through your fazal, through your karam, Ya Allah, you had granted us the strength, Ya Allah, the ability, Ya Allah, to conduct and to listen, Ya Allah, and to attend all these programs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, had it not been for your tawfiq, Ya Allah, none of this would have been possible, Ya Allah. O Allah, falaka alhamdu wa laka shukr, all praise belongs to you, Ya Allah. O Allah, we express our gratitude to you, Ya Allah. If you wanted, Ya Allah, we could have been engaged in some sin or the other. O Allah, the fact that you granted us the tawfiq to sit in these programs is a sign, Ya Allah, that you want to forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you want us to get close to you, Ya Allah. You want us to become yours, Ya Allah. You want us to get your mahabbat and your ma'rifat and to develop the quality of taqwa, Ya Allah. O Allah, therefore, Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to implement this in our lives, Ya Allah. You are the only one who can purify our hearts, Ya Allah. O Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Accept, Ya Allah, all the programs that took place, Ya Allah. O Allah, make it a means of sadaqah jariyah, Ya Allah. O Allah, for our satiza, for our apas, our mashayikh, and especially, Ya Allah, our late Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. O Allah, fill his grave with noor, Ya Allah. O Allah, had it not been for his teachings and his lessons, Ya Allah, where would this weak servant have been, Ya Allah? O Allah, reward him the best of rewards, Ya Allah. And all those who have shown kindness, generosity, in whichever way it may have been, O Allah, reward them the best of rewards, Ya Allah. O Allah, O Allah, grant us the opportunity, Ya Allah. O Allah, to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us with your muhabbat. Bless us with the noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, change the direction of our lives, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we do not know, this could be the last Ramadan of our lives, Ya Allah. If it is the last Ramadan of our lives, Ya Allah, oh Allah, make it the best Ramadan of our lives, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to make sincere tawbah and istighfar, oh Allah. Let it be such, Ya Allah, that when we leave this world, our ta'alluq with you is at its strongest, Ya Allah. Our love with you is at its highest, Ya Allah. Our ma'rifat in you is at its highest, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect us, Ya Allah. Grant us complete protection from the fitnas of the time, Ya Allah. Grant us protection, protect us, protect our families, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect our masajid, our madaris, our darul ulooms. The workers of deen, Ya Allah, protect them, Ya Allah. Haramain Sharifain ki hifazat farma. Protect the Haramain Sharifain, Ya Allah. Protect Masjidul Aqsa, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are well aware all the good desires, aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you. Fulfill all the good desires and aspirations. Whatever difficulty, challenge, sickness they are going through, you remove it, alleviate it, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. والحمد لله.